back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in the studio. We're at Pappas Restaurant and Sports Bar with the world-famous crab cakes, and apparently some pretty good coffee here, the Rivals Royal Farms. We're giving away some, I'm going to give you a scratch-off board before it's all over with. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. We let ourselves play. I got my mask. I got toys. I got fun. Man, I can't remember the last time. I'm not going to give you too much of a hard time. I can't remember the last time I had a big league, Major League Baseball player on the show next to me. So I appreciate your courage.
Nestor, I've always loved you and appreciate everything you do.
Well, I came in and they asked me where to set up at Pappas. So this has been, I've called this the Serendipity Tour since like August. Every day something really beautiful happens because I decided to do this in my own world. So I walk in and that is made of bottle tops. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, the Oreo bottle top? Absolutely.
So I looked at that, and they wanted me to set up where the Christmas tree and the Pappas crab and the fireplace, the lodge, and I'm all thirsty for wine and all that. And I looked up, and I'm like, oh, man, that Oreo thing's awesome. And I'm like, Bordick's coming. He's going to have to stand in front of the Oreo bird and the Christmas tree for a half an hour. So this is perfect. How are you? Where are you? What are you doing? Oh. I mean, you were in my living room every night broadcasting really awful baseball, and then you kind of went away, and the baseball's still awful, but I haven't watched much. I mean, I can't watch
it. Yeah, well, there was a nice little stretch there with Buck Showalter, J.J. Hardy and those guys.
I watched you every night.
Getting to the postseason. That was a fun group right there, right? So that
I was in
exciting.
Kansas City. You saw me in all these
absolutely.
Places. Duquette offered to throw me out of Kansas City when I was there. I'm like, I come all the way to Kansas City. I love your baseball team. Yeah. You know, I mean, but I laugh about that now. But it's not. It's kind of sad, you know, to see nobody going to the games. I mean,
it breaks my heart.
I mean, I just sold my condo, and the person that's buying it is a huge Oriole fan, and I bless him, I love him. And I think to my wife, like all the money we lost in our condo, and I'll be talking about that probably the rest of my life, but more than anything, that we bought downtown because I love baseball. My last name's Aparicio, right?
Yeah.
I love baseball. And all I wanted to do was live in the shadow of the stadium and walk to games, you know, live in the place Brady Anderson used to live and rollerblade up the games and all that. And now 30 years later, it breaks my heart. You know what I mean? I'm going to Pittsburgh for football this weekend, and they're struggling. And now there's a lockout again. So if I am going to talk baseball with you, I ain't bitching about the Orioles or Peter or Masson or anything. It's just more like they're locked out again. And this speaks to where you found yourself as a young man in Maine trying to ply your trade in the game, right?
Yeah, right.
And get your fair share, right?
Well, you know, it's kind of weird how things come around. Somebody will benefit from this lockout eventually. I actually got my shot in the big leagues with the Oakland A's because of the 1990 lockout. And when the lockout ended, part of the agreement was expanding the roster by two players, and I was one of the two players. I got a shot for a month in the big leagues. I got called back up in September.
Was that like Gallego?
Walt Weiss, Gallego, Carney
I know a little
Lansford.
Bit about baseball.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Google that, but
I
collected baseball cards back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember when you came here, and that whole era, BJ and Jimmy Key, I just go through the names of these guys that were star players, and you were in another place, and you decided to sign at Camden Yards. Like, you come in, like, they put you with, tell me about your, like, winding up here, right? Because, like, when you signed here, coming from Oakland where there were no fans, you know, rats in the cellar, this was such a beautiful oasis of baseball. Like, to be a guy your age, to walk in and say, I'll play with Ripken. That's what I'm going to do, right?
Well, let me start from the beginning. And of course, I obviously prefaced it with that 1990 year. But the Oakland A's had a nice little dynasty going as well, as you can remember. And we can list off some players there.
Bash Brothers.
Ricky Henderson, Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, Dave Henderson, Eckersley, Dave Stewart. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, an incredible team. Tony La Russa there as well. We went to the postseason in 92. And then new owners.
Were they spending money?
They were finding ways to get veteran guys in there.
But you think of these great players like McGuire and these guys, but you also think, oh, those guys all left. They never really got paid there.
Right,
It was much different than Charlie Finley 20 years earlier, right?
Absolutely. So they definitely had a method. I think the A's have historically had a method to their madness out there and continue to stay somewhat relevant, right?
Right.
And successful. But Tony La Russa ended up going to St. Louis. Mark McGuire followed him. New ownership came in. There was definitely a changing of a guard. hard and a rebuild going on there. So we did go through some losing times. When I became a free agent, you know, I wanted to get that hunger back, getting back into the postseason. And the most attractive offer and the most challenging offer were the Baltimore Orioles. When Pat Gillick approached me and asked me to be a part of that team after they had just gone to the postseason in 96, I was thinking, man, this team is going to be a dynasty. Just look what they're made of. But there is no way I'm going to play shortstop with Cal Ripken there. Are you kidding me? Right? Well, he kind of convinced me that it was going to happen basically with or without me. I think, you know, looking back in history, I ended up calling Cal and kind of hoping to get a blessing. He basically said, you got to do what you've got to do for your family. And it was one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make in my life.
What were your other options?
Kansas City was calling.
They were throwing a lot of money around then, I think, right?
They were, the next
right?
year they offered, or David they gave Cone. Jay Bell was the shortstop. Okay. And they gave him some big money
right.
to go there. But I just looked at it like, I just, at that time in my career, I needed that winning kind of drive, that hunger to get back to the postseason. When I just came up with the A's, it was unbelievable how good I felt as an athlete, as a competitor, because every day mattered. Every day we were shooting for the ring, you know, to make it back to the postseason. It was intense, and it was awesome, and that is what I kind of grew up in, and I wanted that again. And, yeah, in signing with the Orioles, that was the hope. I mean, I just envisioned a dynasty lasting for years because some of the players you just mentioned.
Well, they had money. They had everything you needed.
Yeah.
They had Pat Gillick, Davey Johnson, farm system, money, Camden Yards. I mean, the one thing that was going against them, I guess, was the AL East in general. Even then, that Boston and New York were formidable financially.
Sure.
And Toronto was formidable financially as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Toronto had been recently in the postseason. They actually beat us in 92. They had a nice little run in the early 90s, right, and winning the World Series. As well. So yeah, the Beast of the East, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but that was always the, I think, part of the beauty of playing baseball, being right. in the most challenging, you know, division.
Full place every night. You
Absolutely.
Knew when you signed in 97,
are you kidding
3.8
me?
Million people were coming to the games. That's that.
You were a rock star automatically. It was unbelievable and probably the greatest experience I ever had in my life playing in Camden Yards every night from 97 till 2000. It was incredible. Sold out every night.
I tell people that now, like, and they're younger people, right? Like, people that are 30 have no experience with any of this, and maybe they don't love baseball. And in this town, people play lacrosse here. People play soccer here, but they play lacrosse here specifically in that time of the year. We got a baseball reputation here. Obviously, we had some football players as well in the Ray Lewis era. But this was a baseball town that has changed dramatically, but you're still here. And I the interesting part, you're sitting here drinking a coffee at Pappas with me 25 years later. You made enough money in the game, you could live in Kansas City or Oakland or Maine or Florida or wherever you want to live, right? Give me a little primer on how you stayed here, because I do have a recollection of running into you at Shea Stadium in a World Series environment with Bobby V after you had left. You were doing my national show back then. I think I found the tape of that recently, too.
Oh, yeah.
But you went on another journey in life, and you had been somewhere else. I'm always fascinated when people pick Baltimore as a home because I was born onto it. I've never left. I spent a long period of my time thinking I was going to leave. And when I got an opportunity to leave, I couldn't leave. This is home for me.
Yeah.
But for other people, they made it home. And you're one of those guys.
It's pretty interesting. So I grew up an Air Force brat. So we were always moving around anyway. I always considered Maine my home because that's where my dad retired. 3 years of high school, and then I went off to college, actually in Maine as well. But I was still...
Which means you were cold.
It cold, but good baseball now. Those early 80s baseball teams for the University of Maine Black Bears, we went to College World Series now 5 out of 6 years.
So you got recruited.
I was recruited, a little bit. Yeah, it was
a local
high school up there.
The last time I sat with you in this sort of a vibe was with Mike Flynn down in Florida at spring training. He was from Maine. You were from Maine. He had just won the Super Bowl. So we're 20 years ago. I have some good pictures of that, too. We still look young even then. But, the whole Maine thing is always unique to you because there aren't a whole lot of dudes that grew up in Maine to play Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Because if you've been to Maine, it's rocks and it's cold and it's lobster and it's not baseball. But you persevered that. Yeah. That's not a prescription for success to grow up in Maine and play baseball.
Well,
really.
You said it. You hit the nail on the head with that word, perseverance. I wish I could remember his name. Longtime head coach for Syracuse.
Baseball or football?
Football.
Pasqualoni?
No, before that.
Go ahead. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. Anyway,
I'll Google it. We're right. Back in the 80s.
I went to an event, and he actually gave a speech on perseverance. And he said, you know, young athletes in Maine know how to persevere and fight through the challenging times. And I kind of took that hold of that.
Dick McPherson.
Yeah, there it was.
There
Dick
it is. McPherson. He coached the Patriots after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a great night hanging out with him. But I kind of use that as my moniker, you know, hard work, perseverance, dedication. And, yes, I did get recruited to go to the University of Maine, thank God, because there wasn't another university that had any interest.
Orno.
Yeah. O-R-O-N-O, baby.
Orno.
Yeah. You got it, brother.
Pat Ricard, our Raven star, Pat Ricard.
Yes.
He's a Black Bear. And I took him up to Greenmount Station. And when we were having a crab cake, we were arguing Boro versus Fry, which we'll get to here at Pappas a little later on. And he said to me, you know Mike Flynn? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, dude, there's like a shrine built to him in the locker room up there. So I'm texting Flynn. I'm like, you have a shrine in Orno? I mean, is that what they give you when you're an athlete there?
You know it.
But you're a famous man. How many other people are from Maine that I don't know about?
Billy Swift.
Okay, there you go.
Billy Swift was actually born and raised in Maine. I wasn't born and raised there. My mom was, and we retired in Maine, like I had mentioned. But Billy Swift was a stud.
Why are you there now, 30 years later?
You know,
why are you here?
Okay, we actually did try to go back to Maine, and we were in Maine for 8 months, maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago now. We decided we'd go back with family and see how it would go, and just the networking wasn't quite there. People had to go back to work and things like that, and plus we forgot how cold and long the winters were. So it was actually,
I could have told you that.
It was actually that year, though, that I got a job offer. Toronto Blue Jays asked if I wanted to be their roving infield instructor, and I got the okay from my wife. I said, I'm going down to spring training with the Blue Jays. I was down there for a couple weeks, and she calls up and she says, well, with or without you, I'm heading back to Baltimore. So she went back down to Baltimore. It has been our home. We've had three kids born right here in Baltimore. We've raised six kids here in Baltimore. You know, I talked about the Air Force life, moving around a lot, always looking for stability. That's kind of been what I've been after as a parent. As a guy.
That we get 80 to 100 Marriott nights a year and live in Florida for two and a half months trying to be a player and moving from one coast to the other coast. And, hey, Mike, we don't like you anymore. Go to New York. Go try to win a World Series. You know, tap you on the hey, your wife, pack your stuff. People have no idea what this does to families.
Right. Exactly.
Literally, they have no idea.
Exactly. And when we signed with Baltimore, it was the first time I had gotten a multi-year deal. The A's historically gave one-year deals, so you couldn't really lock yourself in. And my wife and I said, hey, let's make this our home and see what happens. Our kids were young. We got them in a school here in Baltimore, and we've loved it. We love the people of Baltimore. Of course, we enjoyed going to Camden Yards every night.
Apparently, likes the Pappas crab cake too.
And Pappas and getting to know the Pappas family and their food here has been awesome. Yeah, absolutely love the crab cakes. Best I've ever had.
Well, you know, this is where serendipity kicks in. So Mike Bordick is here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I got my lottery drink here. We're getting into the holiday season. We got Christmas lights. So I booked Mike on the show, and it was like, hey, let's do Zoom or whatever. I'm like, this is my crutch now. I'm like, I got this crab cake thing. You think Mike would want to come out and have a Pappas crab cake on a Friday sometime around Christmas? Well, yeah, sure, Mike will do that. And then you show up, and I find out that, like, because, like, I don't know you anymore. Like, I haven't talked to you in, like, 15 years. But this is, like, your go-to. I did not know that.
It is the best restaurant.
So you like Nestor even more.
And I want to tell you something. Now, I have little hang-ups about restaurants. Poor service, I hate. I will never go back to a restaurant if I don't get
good, you'll persevere good. Anything but poor service?
I'm telling you right now. If I have to wait longer than 5 minutes for something, and I'm not talking about food. Obviously, it takes a while to get that prepared. But poor service just drives me crazy.
Right.
Right? I just don't know why people can't step up a little bit.
Because it's free to give good service.
And absolutely. Yeah. And it will reflect in your tip, you know, one way or another.
Right.
And the first night I came to Pappas with my wife, it was unbelievable. She said, you love this place, don't you? And I said, oh, my God. The food, first of all, is obviously best in the state. And The service was impeccable. Right there, boom, you get your food, you can enjoy a drink, enjoy dessert, and out the door. We walked out the door, my wife said, I know this is your favorite place, and I said, you got it.
Well, you know what's happened with me is I had, and I've told this story a little bit, but I had a family member come to town and ask me where he should get a crab cake, and I told him a couple places that are my sponsors, and he went to a non-sponsor location, spent a lot of money, and really made me angry. And I said to him, I said, listen, I gave you 100 places you could go, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go have 100 crab cakes at 100 different places. So Pappas is where we are this week. We're going to be at the Beaumont next Thursday, celebrating my 30th year on radio on wow. December 13th. So December 9th, we'll be at the Beaumont. Then December 15th, we're at Costas back in Dundalk, one of my sponsors and family members, Nick and Pete. They're celebrating 50 years there. So the pandemic and shutting down sports, Bordy, there was no baseball for a while. They tried to not play last year. No football, none of that. It really sort of ramped up my Baltimore positive thing after my wife was ill and we started talking about other issues. And the Crab Cake Tour happened to be a conversation starter to bring, I got an excuse to bring Bordick out and have a crab cake and talk about the baseball warehouse or Maine or what he's up to. For you, after Masson, what are you doing? Like, give me, like, other than eating crab cakes with me, and I wasn't even sure you were still in Baltimore, but you're still in Baltimore. You're never leaving, right? It's just home now.
Absolutely. It sure
I guess it is all these years later.
No,
you know?
No, it sure is. Yeah, I love it. My kids are living downtown.
What do you love about it?
Well, people first and foremost, you know. I think there's a great group of former athletes that live here in the Baltimore area, both football and baseball guys. It's great to stay connected with them. Scotty McGregor, I see like once or twice a month.
Nice.
Al Bunbury, you know. I saw B.J. Surhoff at one of his Pathfinder events the other day.
I text Rick Krivda the other day. It's Steelers week. He want no part of me. Krivda's out this week. Big Ben, you know, hurts. So if anybody sees Krivda, you know.
He was probably fishing, man, because he texts me all the time, go fishing.
Give Krivda whatever he deserves from me, all right? You let him know. It's Pittsburgh week, Randy. Who's your team? Have you become a Raven guy?
Yeah, I've become a Raven guy.
Were you Patriots or what were you?
Absolutely.
Oh, I smelled something.
No, I know. But, terrible. You know, listen, and if you've ever been to New England, you know you're kind of forced to be a Patriots, Bruins, Red Sox
fan. They threw
fan.
My wife out when she left New Hampshire. She came down and she wore a Tom Brady jersey the first year of our marriage. Oh. After that, it became a Ray Lewis thing. I'm like, look. It's family business here. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you think you like the Red Sox. I play for the Orioles. You just explain that to your family, right?
Right.
Maybe, right?
No, I know. Yeah. No, it's funny.
They've won enough, the Patriots.
You got to appreciate Tom Terrific, though.
He's not even there
anymore.
Is that
even allowed to be said? I know, but
he took the air out of the footballs. I'm convinced of that.
Oh, stop. Come on. It wasn't him. It was one of the clubhouse kids.
Right. Under the direction. I mean, that organization's so loose, too. Everybody in that organization just does whatever they want. No one there ever takes direction or anything, right? For you to have played for so many different people in organizations and obviously been around this mess here, to witness it from the inside and the outside, leadership's everything, man. You know,
like
literally everything. The reason Pappas is crab cake, because they're well run,
right.
Period. Or they wouldn't be here still to this
sure.
day, right? And I think as a taskmaster perseverance guy, no offense, you like shit done the right way. I mean, you just who you are. Like, and when you're around things, to your point, you're the first guy upset about bad service because it's so easy to give good. So you're a little bit of a taskmaster, right?
Absolutely.
The baseball side of you, the doing it right, hitting the cutoff, all the stuff my father preached to me about how to live your life, take care of your teammates, all of that stuff, that was a real credo for you.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Well, it's the only reason I made it to the big leagues and was able to stick for a while was just having that kind of mindset, right? Doing things the right way. My father said that, too. He preached it all the time. Do it right the first time.
Military,
don't even do
right?
it at all. You got that right. There's a lot of discipline there.
Yeah.
It might have been hard at times, but I was brought up the right way. You know, doing things the right way, you get paid off for hard work and without even asking for, you know, handouts or anything like that. Do it right. If you want it done right, do it yourself.
Well, you weren't the biggest and strongest and best and all that. You were a guy that the coaches noticed you because you were, and I'll use this word because when I think of B.J. Surhoff, I don't think of anything other than one word, gamer. That's the word they always use with, you know, that's a baseball and it has various meanings, but it means I'm running out every ground ball. Like, just start with that I'm going to be at the right place at the right time.
Sure.
And you can count on me. You can count on me.
Well, it's all about trust, to be honest with you. Sure, there are a handful of superstar players, you know, guys that you can kind of turn your head when they don't run down the first baseline because you know they're going to end up with 30-plus home
runs. God, I used to broadcast the game with Machado, and just watching it, I could just I could see your loins get tight.
It,
you know,
it,
I
was tough sometimes, for sure. Yeah, absolutely, because...
you wish you had those tools.
Hands down the best player in the game, if he wanted to be, you know?
Gift.
Absolutely,
gifted.
Absolutely. So, you know, guys like B.J. Surhoff, guys who... He was one of the guys I kind of emulated, Cal.
Well, B.J.'s different, because he was like a 1-1 overall.
Yeah. And he proved it. Look, as a catcher, as a third baseman, and an outfielder, you know, all-star caliber... player.
You know how good the service is at Pappas? I didn't even order the crab cake from Justin. He brought me one here anyway. And I told him I didn't want to spit all. I just want to hold it up. You're not even hungry, are you?
Well,
all of a sudden, look at the time. Oh, my God. Look, he served it with asparagus. See, he went all Gucci with me, got the asparagus, acting like I don't have a date tonight or something like that. But we're having crab cakes. We're having fun. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Mike Bordick's joining us. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break because we're 20 minutes into this. I'm going to have a lot of friends joining us here. Leonard Raskin's going to be out today with us. Jim Reese from Alpha Kerman, fresh off his Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives cameo. He said he wanted to make a cameo with me now after making one with Guy Fieri, so we'll do that. And also, John Kelly's going to be here talking about the road race a little later on in the afternoon. You good for one more segment?
You know it, brother.
He comes in here and he says, I need coffee to go on Nestor's show. And I'm like, I'm not caffeinated enough for both of us, you know?
I have the high energy, brother.
I love that the Oriole logo is right over his shoulder. We're here at Pappas. We're celebrating the holidays, crab cakes, shipping crab cakes, eating crab cakes. We're going to talk some baseball. You're going to talk about the warehouse, right?
Absolutely, baseball
warehouse. What is that?
It's an awesome place where kids are going to get great instruction from former professional players and current. Austin Wins is over there. Zimmerman,
I can't even throw a party these days, man. I got nothing. I got no heat.
Great instruction, learning the game the right way, for sure.
Once I get my back fixed, I would never golf because the ball doesn't move. I mean, it's not even a challenge, you know. But once I get my back square, I'll get in the box and, you know, let you – maybe 60, 65. Groove me something, man.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't throw any harder than 60 or 65.
Good. I can hit that still, I think. I think I can if I get the right bat. Mike Bordick is out here. We're celebrating the holidays, celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is all presented by the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play. Back for more in Cockeysville right after this. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.